No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm doing well, how are you?
Good, thank you, I'm doing really well. We've got some questions from the listeners that have come in about workplace stuff, so let's get stuck into it.
Let's get straight into it.
What have we got here, Zoe? What's our first one?
This person says, hey Justine, I feel like you've been asked this heaps, but I can't remember, so sorry if this is a double up. That never matters. But how many people do you need to form a union at work? What if there are only like two of you?
So the answer to that depends on how many co-workers you actually have, right?
Right.
So if you have 50 co-workers and you want a collective contract at your workplace, you do need possibly more than one person because otherwise it's not a collective agreement, right? Mm-hmm. So different unions will have different kind of thresholds, so it is really worth calling them and asking them because, you know, like, so some unions will say if you've got 10% of a workplace in a union, we can negotiate a contract, and other unions might say we might need a little bit more. So really, it does depend. I would encourage you to call the relevant union, but it's always worth joining a union even if there's only two of you in a workplace because, you know, they can offer that support and that advice, and two people can negotiate with, you know, a boss together, even if it doesn't end up being mm-hmm. like a formalised collective agreement. So the answer is it really depends. I'm sorry.
No, that's good to know. It's good to know these things. We've had a question from someone that says, hey, Justine, I've been asked to help out on my friend's creative project and the payment is going to be just a small koha. I don't really mind, but I feel like I am getting to the point of my life where I kind of want actual money for my work, but I also really want to support creative stuff and my friends. I like this project, but it's going to take up a lot of my time. How do you know where to draw the line with things like this? I think that's a good question many people probably feel is relevant.
Yeah, really good question. And, you know, in terms of wanting actual money for actual work, this is a really good principle to just, like, everybody should have. You know, your work is valuable, your labour is valuable. But that doesn't mean that you won't sometimes volunteer or, mm-hmm. you know, do things for a friend for a small koha. I think where I draw the line in terms of volunteering or a favour to a friend is making sure it doesn't take up too much of my life,
yeah.
Unless it's really, really important, you know, unless that co-pupper is like central to my life.
yeah.
Just having boundaries and making clear that, like, you know, because you're not being paid for your mahi, that means that, you know, that you are going to, like, you can't have that take over your life. I think it's really important if someone is doing mahi for you on a volunteer basis or for a small koha, that you are really respectful of boundaries
mm-hmm.
and don't expect too much. I think a lot of people kind of struggle with that, and I think it's it is a kind of a capitalist, you know, mentality. Let's recognize that when people give their time, it's precious.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a good one. We've got one last one here, Zoe. What is it?
It says, I'm thinking of working for my parents' company, but want to try keep it a professional relationship. Is this a recipe for disaster, lol? / do you have any advice, Justine?
You know, it can be a recipe for disaster, I understand. I've heard stories. But, you know, it also can be a good way for, you know, for your parents to understand the perspective of maybe their other employees.
Mm, true.
Because you're in that perspective, and so you can give them, you know, you can give them kind of insight. So it could actually be a good thing, really, and make them better bosses. In terms of the advice I would give you is, I think you really have to have a very clear divide between work and personal. I think you've got to be, like, really aware of, like, potential conflicts of interest or kind of, you know, dynamics in the workplace.
Yeah.
You know, and just making sure that the other people at in the workplace are comfortable and that, you know, you're not, you know, that your parents are treating you in a professional way and that you're not, you know, they're not, I mean, obviously there'll be favoritism, you're their kid, but in the workplace, hopefully we can, you know, like have that, have those boundaries and stuff like that. Because I think, yeah, they should, they really need, I think the, for them, the risk is that they need to be aware of what their other employees, what's happening with their other employees, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Sounds like a conversation, an honest conversation before you start.
Absolutely.
Anything needs to be had. Thank you,
absolutely,
Justine, for answering these questions. And thanks to you folks who've texted them in. We appreciate that. Have a lovely time on your holiday in Wellington, where you are calling us from. And we will talk to you again in a fortnight.
Cheers. Thanks,
Grace. See ya.
Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Thanks, Justine.